Hey, quick thing before we dive in. Are you a professional working in the country music industry? Because it is time to renew your membership to the Academy of Country Music. Not a member yet? All good. Now is the time to join. You can still do it. Academy members are among the most respected leaders in the industry and hold the right to vote on ACM awards. They also receive exclusive benefits, including monthly educational panels and invites to networking events, early access to tickets for Academy events, discounts for ACM partner events, regular industry data and insights, and so much more if you are interested in applying for membership or if you need to renew your membership. Visit acmcountry.com/membership. Again, that's acmcountry.com/membership. There's time to renew, but time is closing because all renewals are due October 15th. So don't delay. Guys, we're talking about the ACMs here, okay? I mean, this isn't like your Joe Schmo, whatever, or, you know, this is the ACMs. It's like, get on board. Come on. I don't know what else to tell you. It's like, you got to do it. Okay, enough of that. Let's dive in.
The Zach Kuhn Show.
Okay, here we go. Episode 81, Charlie Davis on the podcast. Charlie is the founder of Preffy, a brand new social media marketing company that uses competitions to encourage influencers to create content. Really, really cool company here. Very modern marketing company. This is what the future of music marketing is going to look like. The company was actually recently acquired by Songfluencer here in Nashville, one of the best influencer marketing companies in the business. And I got to tell you, I love talking with Charlie. He's just very sharp about TikTok, about the TikTok algorithms, about influencer marketing in general. A lot to get out of this episode, a lot of insider baseball, behind the scenes stuff. I think you're really going to dig it, especially if you're a content creator or if you're someone who works with content creators. This is going to open up a lot of windows and give a lot of insight. So here we go. Episode 81, Charlie Davis, the founder of Preffy. Let's dive in. First of all, just for my viewers, what is Preffy? Like, walk us through it. Give us the overview. What are we talking about here?
Yeah, so Preffy is a micro and nano influencer contesting platform for artists. So it's a way basically to help artists get their music used and promoted in TikToks and Instagram Reels. You know, it's no major revelation that TikTok can be a massive marketing channel for artists. I started Preffy in February of this year with no idea or conception of what I was exactly going to build. I'm a software engineer by trade, but I wanted to sort of build the ultimate marketing solution for artists, sort of a grand vision I had. And from an unbiased perspective, saw TikTok as the platform where an artist's marketing dollars could best be spent. So what I did is I took a period, and given my background in data science and software engineering, where I tried to learn as much as I could about the TikTok algorithm, how TikTok surfaces videos to users, how their For You page is built, and how a song is incorporated into their decision structure. So I could try to find, you know, hopefully, you know, common trends or patterns that would emerge and things that an artist could do to sort of tilt the scales in their direction. And what I learned is that TikTok as a platform and as an algorithm likes to reward momentum on platforms. So that is sort of the key to sort of their recommendation system. And if we had longer time and perhaps visuals, I could go into exactly why that is the case. But for now, please, I have degrees to prove that.
Not to throw you off course, but I think people are always trying to understand the algorithm. I mean, TikTok published pretty detailed information about their algorithm, but were you looking at that or were you talking to other marketers? How did you tap into the TikTok algorithm?
Yeah, so what I did was, basically, so to give a little bit of background on myself, I'm a software engineer by trade. I did my undergrad and master's at Cornell University. I did it in information science, concentrating in data science. So I had familiarity in the past with recommendation systems. TikTok as a platform is extremely unique because they can gain a lot of information on a user and their preferences in a very short and limited time period. So if we compare sort of TikTok compared to a platform like Netflix, Netflix, if you spend 2 hours on the platform, you could have watched just one movie, and Netflix can't really figure out if you liked or disliked the movie. There's, I guess there's that up and down, thumbs up, thumbs down, that some people use, some people don't. I personally never do. TikTok, on the other hand, if you are on the platform for 2 hours, there are these 30-second clips, and they're actually able to figure out, okay, they're able to surface so many videos to you. They're able to see, test out if you, whether or not you would like them. You can comment, like, share, and all those metrics factor into determining, you know, what kind of videos does this person like, and how can we get them to use our platform for longer. I consulted with a few of, actually of my former professors to try to figure out, you know, if you were going to rebuild the TikTok algorithm, how would you do it? And so based on their information, their input, presuming that that the TikTok engineers had similar thought processes, could get a framework for how the TikTok algorithm was built. And then the second part of it is just experimenting and testing. I created, you know, dozens of test accounts just to theorize theories that I had. What happens if you posted this video this time of day with no captions, no sound, and nothing? How would that work? And what happens if you had a video that only had comments and no likes, no shares? How would that react? And based on that information, try to discern as much information as I could. Because TikTok is still very private about what they give out on the algorithm, until I can actually, you know, speak to some of their engineers and look at exactly how it's built. I won't actually be able to figure the exact details out, but I can come pretty close. That being said, also when we're dealing with artificial intelligence, there's also a limit to how much the TikTok engineers that built this can actually know. That's just sort of innate in artificial intelligence networks and recommendation systems. All the TikTok engineers can really control is what data input into it, and then what sort of they want to optimize for. All the rest, the weights and everything, that's up to the algorithm, actually.
It's up to the app. Okay, wait, so you're doing all this research into the TikTok algorithm, which in a way is almost not really relevant to what Preffy is, because Preffy just looks at what has the most views on a piece of content. So how do you then, where does this come from? Are you doing all this research, and then where does the idea for this product come from?
Right. So I figured out that TikTok rewards momentum on the platform, and everyone from an artist perspective, what they're trying to do is they're trying to get a viral trend going. That it's the concept of the viral trend, and everyone, and the basic concept here is that a macro influencer, somebody with, you know, hundreds of thousands to millions of followers comes along and they use a song in a video that is so engaging, so creative, and so easy to replicate that thousands of other creators see that video imitated in their own videos. You know, one thing leads to another. There's a snowball effect, and boom, the song's a viral sensation.
Right. That's the golden ticket, is the UGC, the user-generated content. That's what you're trying to accomplish.
That's what you're trying to accomplish. And that's what everyone sort of focuses on. But when they neglect is what typically precedes that viral video, which is a series of hundreds, thousands of posts by nano influencers that really work to spark that initial momentum on TikTok. Because TikTok as a platform, as I said, they like to circulate videos that have momentum, or they like to circulate songs that are being used by other people, because that informs the decision-making, and that informs what videos they should service to one another. So the problem that my platform Preffy is really trying to solve is, okay, how can you get hundreds to thousands of nano influencers to use a song in a video that has very little momentum on platform, and in a way that is both cost effective and labor effective? Because the brute force approach, if I want 500 people using my song, would be to, you know, DM 500 nano creators, people with 1,000 followers to 100,000 followers, you know, maybe speak to them for 10 to 20 minutes on the phone, pay them $5 to $10. You know, there's going to be only so many that actually go through with it. So if you want 500, you probably actually have to reach out to a few thousand and do that for every single release. That would be the brute force approach. That's not very scalable as a software engineer. You know, I hate that idea, and I want to-
It's messy. It's very messy.
It's very messy. And so the idea for a competition format really, to me, was the intuitive way to stretch a dollar to get 100 influencers for the price of one. So the basic way that Preffy works is artists host competitions on our website, preffy.com, to see who can get the most likes on a video featuring their song. So the artist starts a competition with cash prize for their latest release. Creators on TikTok and Instagram come to our site on a daily and weekly basis looking for songs to use in their upcoming videos. They enter the competition simply by, you know, using the song in a public TikTok, submitting the link to our site, and then throughout the competition, they can actually track where they are in the leaderboard based on how many likes their post got. And likes combined, so, you know, if I enter three times, each post gets 1,000 likes, I get 3,000 likes in the competition. So, you know, it's a great way for artists to gain that initial momentum on platform. It's a great way for creators to start monetizing their content. You know, the average creator on Preffy has 49,000 followers. So these are the people I kind of like to think of Preffy as the minor leagues of TikTok monetization. It's not for the creators, the macro creators that are charging thousands of dollars for one post, regardless of performance. It's sort of the stepping stone before that. And it's a great way to, as I said, mobilize, you know, hundreds of UGC for a song that just got released.
So the process is, so if you're a label and you want to do this, you're going to go to preffy.com, first of all, right? And then you're going to click for artists. There's a tab at the top. And then you put this together. Are you prompted with anything? Any tips on how to put the best campaign together? And I'm also curious, just cash prizes, or are you able to offer anything else?
Yeah, I mean, so going back to the first part of that, which is how you would actually start a Preffy competition. Right now, Preffy is limited. We have significant bandwidth restraints. We're completely limited by the number of creators we have entering our competitions. So, you know, if we had 1,000 creators entering, and 1,000 competitions running at once, you know, the pigeonhole principle would suggest that every competition would only get one creator to enter. That's not what we're trying to promise. As a result, we have to significantly limit the number of competitions that we're running at once. We try to our best to limit it to under 10. But because of that, we like to work with people that we know that we've done business with for a while. So the best way to actually start a Preffy competition would be to reach out to our parent company, Songfluencer. And in May of this year, Songfluencer acquired Preffy. And
right.
I could go into
a lot. I want to talk all about this, but I'm curious. So first of all, the prizes that people are giving away is like $200, $100, $500 for winning. There's some campaigns running right now. I almost feel like if I was an influencer, it seems like it's a long shot that you're going to win this competition. It's out of your control. Have you found, is $200, is $300, is that enough to motivate a micro influencer to create content specifically for this? Or do you think they're creating the content anyway? And if they can enter and possibly win their $300, great. What do you think motivates them? Is it purely the cash?
Yeah. So, I mean, so it's $200, but it's $200 for the top prize. So if we have a prize pool of say $2,000, we like to divide that amongst as many creators as possible. That is really what incentivizes them is the opportunity to win more so than the actual value amount. So for example, if you came to us with a prize pool of $2,000, we would divide that amongst 20 different creators. First through fourth place, I think, would get $200. The next, you know, fifth through eighth would get 100 and so on and so forth. So in that way, by dispersing the prize pool amongst as many creators as possible, it significantly increases their chances of winning. With regards to, is money the only thing that motivates them? What about fans, or what about for their fans? What if an artist could do something like concert tickets or a cameo style video, something along those lines? One of the great parts about Preffy is that we do not require or rely on the artist to do any sort of creator acquisition efforts. We don't ask the artist to post on their socials, Instagram, Twitter, you name it, saying, hey, come enter this competition that I'm running. We actually recommend against that. So as a result, our creators on Preffy.com really use our site as a way to start monetizing their content. Monetization and, you know, cash is really their primary concern. in the past, we've tried to do things where, you know, we did a jacket in addition to, you know, you get $200 and you get a custom jacket, custom merch from the artist. When it actually came down to it, it's like we emailed the creator saying, hey, congratulations, you won this prize. Give us your shipping address so we can send you the jacket. They just said, nope, I'm good with the cash. You can hang on to the jacket. I don't really
can't eat a jacket.
The local bodega won't take that as currency.
So who's typically when, I mean, we've talked about the TikTok algorithm, and I think if you work around this, you know that followers are not really a direct translation of how well your posts are going to do. But is it typically just the people with the biggest followings that end up getting the most likes and winning these competitions? Or can a true micro influencer come in and win the top prize?
Yeah, I mean, you would be very surprised. So TikTok more so than Instagram, your followers aren't a great indication for how engaged your posts are gonna be. Every TikTok influencer has a range of their views. You know, if a great engagement score they would get anywhere from 100,000 views per video up to 1 million. But because the Preffy competition format is such that likes combine per post, likes are the metric that we're going for. It's whoever can get the most likes on posts, they end up winning the prizes. You can win by just posting more times. So if I'm a macro influencer that enters, and we do have some macro influencers, and I get 100,000 likes on one post, and I'm a smaller micro influencer, I might have to post 10 times using that song to get above 100,000 likes. But I can do it by sheer willpower.
So you can keep adding videos and Preffy will track your account and the views or likes across those videos. And can you do that on multiple platforms too? Could you upload your TikTok and your Reels videos and would it track against both?
Yeah, so if you enter from both TikTok and Instagram, they actually count as two different creators. So you could be eligible for multiple prizes. But you know, the purpose of Preffy is to gain as much UGC as possible. So if somebody wants to post five times, we want to encourage that and we want to incentivize them to do just that. And we want to reward them for, you know, this person posted 10 times, got greater engagement than somebody who just posted once. They should be the winner.
Makes sense. Sometimes when you work with micro influencers, especially if you're an artist who's just starting out, you're sort of taking whatever you can get. And what you might find is that you might get 1 million views on an account that is viewed by people who are completely not your audience. So in a way, it's sort of not relevant. With something like Preffy, is there a way to target certain demographics or certain types of influencers to reach certain audiences? Or are views like 1 million views? Give me a break. That's incredible. Take what you can get. You know, how do you guys think about it?
Yeah, I mean, so right now we're optimizing for UGC and views. I don't know if you've worked with macro influencers or have a good idea of what a good CPM is in the TikTok influencer marketing space. But so Preffy right now is averaging around 5 cents CPM. So if you give us, $1,000 competition, we're going to try to get you, and we are getting you more than 10 million views. Our goal is to get you less than a 10 cent CPM. What I guess going forward we would like to do is, okay, how can we maintain that CPM but still target in terms of, you know, geo-targeting, niche targeting. Right now it's an open creative, so we have no control over the types of videos that are created. Going forward, as we amass and acquire more creators, we're going to be able to specialize in that. But right now, you know, it's a completely open creative. TikTokers in general live in paranoia of the TikTok algorithm that they're going to all of a sudden suppress their videos, right?
Yeah, right.
Because at the end of the day, their worth isn't the number of followers they have, it's the number of views that their last 5 or 10 videos are getting. So they fear, because they've seen it happen in the past, where somebody with 1 million followers all of a sudden is only getting 4,000 views per video because they ticked off the TikTok algorithm, pun intended. And so what they're really hesitant of is people coming in, brands, artists, saying, you need to do this content. I have this song. We have this idea for this trend. It's going to be phenomenal. Please do it for us. They're much more hesitant to do something with that because, you know, they're worried. Do I actually think that this is a good trend? Are my followers going to, not engage with this post? And as a result, like until you actually are posting twice a day, trying to figure that out, it's hard to actually get in the mindset of a creator and realize, hey, they actually don't want to be told what kind of content to produce with the song. They would actually prefer if you just gave them the song and they could figure out what their followers and what their audience would like to watch. And once you do that, sort of the sky's the limit. And I think that's what I would recommend, you know, all artists doing is going out, start creating TikToks on yourself, start posting, because you'll be able to figure out their mindset very quick.
It's like, I have a friend who's a TikTok artist signed to a major label, and he quickly, within a couple months, got like a million followers on TikTok, and everything was going amazing for him. And then that happened, where his view count just died. And now he's getting 4,000, 5,000 views, where he was getting 500,000 views or 100,000 views. And he puts out so much content. He's putting out like 2 videos a day. He puts out, like, he experiments with everything. He can't get his view count up. And it's the weirdest thing. It's really weird that somewhere he must have gotten penalized for something. And we've talked about this, and he doesn't really know how or when or why. It's weird how that happens.
But it also, I would say that TikTok does reward momentum. So all it takes is one engaging video that just over-indexes for him to get back on.
And then you're back on it. Yeah, right.
Back on it. You're back in good graces. You know, I haven't personally seen anybody that has been permanently, you know, shadow banned, which is what everyone's fear is. You know, if we're speaking to him, I would just recommend to try different content. Try mixing it up. Try to establish a new niche. It's possible that for whatever reason, whatever niche you think you're reaching with your videos, TikTok isn't going to be surfacing it to them, and switch it up.
A quick reminder before we dive back in. If you are a professional working in the country music industry, it is time. The time is now to renew your membership to the Academy of Country Music. If you're not a member yet, that's okay. There's still time to join. Academy members are among the most respected leaders in the industry and hold the right to vote on ACM Awards. They also receive exclusive benefits, including monthly educational panels and invites to networking events, early access to tickets for Academy events, discounts for ACM partner events, regular industry data and insights, and so much more. If you're interested in applying for membership, or if you need to renew your membership, visit acmcountry.com/membership. Again, that's acmcountry.com/membership. All applications and renewals are due by October 15th, so don't delay. You got time, not that much time. You got like a month. ACMs, come on, get involved. It's a no-brainer. Back to the episode. Here we go. So how do conversations with Songfluencer start? Songfluencer, very respected Nashville-based company. I've worked with them on many projects. They do great work. Johnny Claherty, how do you guys get in touch? And this is what you started this in. Did you raise any money for this, or did you completely bootstrap this company?
Completely bootstrap.
So was anyone even working on it, or was it purely you and a computer coding and building this out before you got bought by Songfluencer?
Yeah, no, it was just me. I was doing the marketing, creator acquisition, customer support, some legal work that I probably shouldn't have been doing myself.
Let me ask you this before you answer that question. How do you market something like this to influencers? If the artists are encouraged to not post about the campaigns on their socials, how do you get influencers aware about Preffy?
Yeah, I mean, so at the beginning, I talked about the brute force approach of getting hundreds of influencers to use your song, and that's contacting thousands of them and speaking to them. That was sort of my initial, you know, way of going about it, where I would email 500 creators a day, speak to as many of them as I could. We also do partner with TikTokers to promote, to run just traditional ads where they tell their followers this is a great way to make money on TikTok simply for using, you know, music in their posts. Those have been extremely effective. And we have a referral program. So every creator, if you enter a Preffy competition, every creator that you refer that also enters the competition, your posts get an extra 500 likes. So it actually increases your chance of winning the competition through this referral program. And that has been very popular. So, you know, we're a traditional content monetization platform and try to market it as such and utilize, you know, traditional marketing channels, Instagram ads, Google ads, you name it.
Got it. Okay. So you're in your, I don't know, you're in your bedroom in the middle of COVID. You're coding out this website, Preffy. You're emailing 500 influencers a day. Where does Johnny come into the picture? How do you guys get in touch? How do these conversations start?
Yeah. So I had a lot of overlapping clients, as it turned out, with Johnny. Heard a lot of great things about Songfluencer and the campaigns that they would run. And one thing that I kept seeing time and time again is that the Preffy competitions would perform, you know, tremendously, but there was a glass ceiling and then there was a fall off. So Preffy is designed to generate that initial momentum on the platform, you know, gain those first, you know, several hundred videos so that the song will essentially be put in favor of the TikTok algorithm, so that when you do a macro influencer campaign, their posts are going to overperform. And just increasing the probability of success. But what I was finding is that, okay, so there is, Preffy is a great phase one, but we still need that phase two. We still need the macro influencer to take the song from second gear to sixth gear, create that viral video that is so creative, engaging, and easy to replicate that, you know, thousands of other creators imitate it. I reached out to Johnny and Songfluencer because I wanted to create a partnership. Where Preffy would essentially act as the phase one aspect of it. And you would start a campaign with the Preffy competition that would segue into a Songfluencer campaign. And just through the general course of discussions of how a partnership would look and how everything would be structured, Johnny knows, similar to what I discovered, that TikTok rewards momentum on the platform. And one of the most, in his words, one of the most difficult and expensive things to do on TikTok is to take a song from first gear to second gear, and love that Preffy, you know, specialized in that and could really be a great complement to Songfluencer. And just through the course of that, those conversations, realized that the best course of action would be for Songfluencer to acquire Preffy as a platform. And they were kind enough to keep me on to keep on, you know, building it out.
So are you working just on Preffy right now, or are you also working on anything else in the Songfluencer ecosystem?
No, I'm definitely working on additional things beyond Preffy. If you're familiar with Songfluencers, the way that they go about doing things, they have great reporting tools, great analytics, and they actually have their own influencer app that they work with influencers to run their campaigns.
So going back for a minute, because I want to understand, because I mean, it's kind of boss, right? Like, you create this thing in your room, you sold it 6 months later, give or take, what, a year later? Not
4 months, yeah.
4 months? 4 months later, you know, this is very impressive. So I just want to go back for a second. So you went to Cornell originally, and your first company was what was it, Quadzy?
Yeah. How did you know that?
I've got a great research team, Charlie. So your Quadzy is to help college kids find jobs, right?
Yeah. Well, no. So it was I actually, coincidentally, and this was my first mistake that I did as an entrepreneur, which is building something for that I had little or no knowledge about. As a high school student, I built a platform for college students.
You built that when you were in high school, Quad?
Yeah. So I built a college bulletin board, which is essentially every college, Cornell, would have their own specific Quadzy portal where kids from their university would be able to post, hey, I'm selling my old textbook. I have an upcoming dance recital. Please come check it out. Anything that you would be able to post on a, you know, traditional dorm room bulletin board, you can post on Quadzy. That was the concept behind it, at least.
So was that, and did that get up and running?
Yeah, it was up and running. We launched. We were never able to figure out sort of the chicken or the egg approach, where why would somebody go onto the bulletin board and post if there was nobody looking at it? Why would anybody look at it if there is nothing to post?
It's a networking effect problem.
Exactly.
That's hard to crack. So, but that was kind of your first thing. You dip your toes in that. And Are you self-taught on coding and computer developing? Are you just self-taught, or did you ever take a course in it?
Well, I mean, I was originally self-taught. And
then you went to college and then.
Yeah, and did the traditional route.
And then you go to school for this. Wait, and then did you grow up in the music industry? Did you grow up loving country music?
No, yeah. So I grew up around the music industry. My grandfather's Clive Davis. So I been familiar with the music industry, grew up going to
That's pretty cool. What did you kind of understand what that was or who he was?
Yeah.
Or was it kind of lost on you? Like, when did you realize that your grandfather was like one of the most iconic music industry figures kind of all time?
I think definitely from a young age, I sort of had an idea behind it, but at the end of the day, he's just my grandfather, and I view him as that. But definitely, I think looking back on it, as I was, you know, self-teaching myself how to code, everything I built was sort of geared towards the music industry to some extent, Quadzy being the exception. But the first website I ever built, even before that, was a music blog. During, you know, high school, I did research on vocal recognition technology because I had a crazy concept that is actually now becoming a reality, that if you could break an artist's voice down into its primary components, they could actually then build it back up again. And we could create, you know, what would somebody like, what would be the combination of Aretha Franklin and Michael Jackson voice combined, and how would that sound? And so I was just fascinated by that. And they're really cool companies doing things like that today.
Interesting. Okay. So, and then you go to school to study this, and then you was your first gig out of college working at Spotify?
Yeah. So throughout my undergraduate and master's degree, I actually interned at Spotify on their Spotify for Artists platform, worked with great team there. After my master's, I worked at the Sony Music backed fan engagement platform called Lalo, which helps artists identify, connect with their super fans. Worked there as a software engineer and then started prepping.
This is the craziest story ever. Did you think it would get acquired in 4 months when you started it? Was that the goal?
I mean, I don't think that was necessarily the goal, but it's definitely a fortunate outcome. Very, you know, grateful to Johnny and the whole Songfluencer team for, you know, the opportunity to be acquired.
I love it. So what's coming now? Can we talk about anything down the pipeline or anything we're trying to build out right now with Preffy?
Yeah, right now we're trying to see if we can take our same approach that has been so successful at generating, you know, trends on TikTok with artists, and trying to see if we can apply that to brands. Still, you know, keeping our pivot foot deeply entrenched in the music industry, but seeing if the Preffy competition format could be applied to brands. And we're still in the early days, very early conversations, brainstorming ideas for how a competition like that would work and how it would look.
So if you're rolling out like a new Nike shoe or something, and you want something done with that, how do you create a contest that involves something with that shoe?
Exactly.
That fans can do, and then something.
Exactly. It's a much more complicated world. There becomes a lot when you consider like consideration, meaning that does somebody have to pay for anything to enter the competition? Does anybody have to buy anything? Then the legalese become, you know, a little bit more difficult to overcome, but I'm excited for it. And we think we have, you know, creative ways to get around that.
I'm excited about this too. I mean, it's crazy because this world is such a new world and there's still room for so much innovation. So you can create something in your bedroom or your apartment and 4 months later, you can have it acquired by a company. Very exciting space. What do you think? Is there anything missing from fan engagement today or from influencer marketing and influencer platforms? Anything that you think is missing?
I think that the biggest thing that Preffy has discovered in the influencer marketing space is that creators will work to promote music without a guaranteed fee. A lot of our conceptions about influencer marketing are still left over from, you know, traditional brand promotions on Instagram. And the rules between the two really don't apply. Music promotion on TikTok is the most unobtrusive form of content promotion that you can think of. Creators on TikTok are able to create their own content just with over somebody else's music. And so because we don't dictate the content, sort of their criteria, what they expect, the charges, the prices they charge, and whether or not they're willing to sort of do it for even a guaranteed, which Preffy has proven that there are creators out there, as long as the right incentive models, the incentive structures are there, and that there's the possibility with performance, there'll be a payday at the end of it. So I think going forward, things like that will start to appear and realizing, hey, this is a new world we live in. TikTok has really, you know, been revolutionary with both music marketing and just social media in general. So really excited to see where it goes from here.
Do you think knowing the TikTok algorithm early on, it was possible to become a star like Charlie or Addison Rae or Lauren Gray because the platform was just less cluttered? It feels like that's the case. Do you think someone can still reach that magnitude of stardom on TikTok, or you think the door for that is closed?
Definitely. I definitely think it's still open. I think it's probably harder to gain those initial views, but just posting consistently and trying to attract as many people, I think that the sky's still the limit for who can sort of take that next leap.
So what is the tip if you're entering a Preffy competition? You're going to use a song that you can use a Cynthia Erivo song right now. I'm looking at these competitions right now. You've got a Gayle song who I love, Christian French, Chelsea Collins. You can enter these competitions right now. What is the best tip from Charlie Davis to create content from Preffy? What is, if there's one tip for creators to get the most likes, the most views, how do they do it? What's the secret?
I wish I had the winning formula. It's really simple. Post engaging content, post early, post often. It's really.
What do you mean by early? Early in a song's life or?
So our competitions typically last 14 days. So if you post one post a day and you start on the first day, you're going to get 14 posts by the end of the competition.
If you can do it. Yeah,
exactly. Aggregated likes. So, you know, that would be my primary recommendation. But then that post engaging content. If I knew how to create the most engaging content, you know, I would probably be an influencer.
You'd be out doing it.
Yeah, I would be out doing it. The camera does not love me, so I'm very happy that this is a podcast.
I disagree. I'm looking at you now. I think the camera loves you, Charlie. What have we left out here? Have we covered everything in the Preffy universe? Have we left anything out?
No, just that, if you want to run a Preffy competition, reach out to the team at Songfluencer. You can also fill out our wait list form on our website by going to the four artists tab and starting a competition.
Will it always be a little bit behind lock and key, or eventually will you be able to just go to the Preffy website and register for a competition and be able to run with it?
That's the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is to be able to, for any artist of any budget, to be able to run a competition whenever they want. You know, we have just under 4,000 creators in our network, so the number of competitions we can run is completely limited by how many of them are still active, how many of them are entering competitions on a daily and weekly basis. So hopefully we grow our creators and we're able to run, you know, hundreds of these at once.
So if you're an artist, there's a little bit of a wait list, or you have to reach out to Songfluencer, but if you're a influencer or a creator on that side, you can just go to Preffy.com, click the tab at the top for creators. It's going to walk you through it. What does Preffy mean, by the way?
It is a completely random made-up word. It was actually the name of a different idea that I had, that it made a lot more sense for that idea. But I own the domain name and it kind of worked. I also, you know, as I said, I started it with just hoping that it would become the ultimate marketing solution for artists without a real concept of what exactly that would mean. And through just, you know, reasoning, came up with the TikTok and the competition format, which is why I did not name it, you know, TikTokCompetitions.com.
Preffy is going to translate. The technology is going to change. The marketing is going to change. Preffy's a brand that's going to stick around.
I love the fact that if you look at it, it really looks like pretty, just with a, like, because the F's and the it's pretty with two F's.
It's
and the F and the T.
And what is this logo? It's a smiley face. Is that a ribbon?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a badge or like a ribbon for winning the competition.
Preffy.com. If I was a TikTok viral influencer, I'd be all over Preffy. You can win some big cash prizes here. $200, $225, $100. You win a couple of these. I mean, you're making $1,000 a month. I mean, you could be raking it in with Preffy. I love this, man. I think this is very cool. I think Songfluencer, it's been amazing to see what they're building and to see what they're doing and the artists that they're working with. And this seems like such a cool addition. Johnny emailed me. He said he's going to bet his career on Preffy. That is what Johnny Claherty's saying. A lot of pressure here, Charlie. He's betting it on you. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I can only hope.
I love it, man. So are you the only one in your family who went into the music industry, or anyone else go into it?
No. So my grandfather had four kids, and all four of them went into the music industry in some shape or form or another. So you know, it's the family business. I'd like to think that if they were born today, they would have also approached it from the computer science aspect.
It's funny because you look at the guys like your grandfather who are such innovators, and I think a lot of people look at their careers and try to replicate them, thinking they're going to be able to innovate the same way. But what they don't realize is that that path was already done and innovated. And if you want to innovate today in the way they did back then, you have to create something like Preffy, right? That's where that's the equivalent of what they were doing back then in the record business. But now it's been done. If you want to keep innovating, you have to keep pushing it forward, right?
Yeah, no, I think that that's very well said. And he definitely understood where the winds were blowing and took full advantage of that. And you kind of have to reassess every decade or wherever, whenever you're stepping into the music industry, try to figure out where are the winds blowing and how can I, take full advantage of it, and how can I, add my two cents to direct sort of the tides.
Absolutely. Very cool. By the way, this was the first year I was in the Grammy party. I feel like the only way I'd ever get invited was if it was virtual, but you know what? It was a thrill to be there.
So you saw the video. So I worked with them to pick out all those videos, the classic concerts and whatnot.
Those videos were incredible. And it was funny because I tuned into the second one. I didn't watch the first one. I didn't get invited to the first one. I got invited to the second one, but I was thinking at first when I started tuning into this, I was kind of like, this is gonna be a drag. Why do I want to watch pre-recorded videos? I could probably just find YouTube. But it was
went in with that mindset.
That was the mindset I had, because I just thought, I don't know, why do I want to see these videos? But it was so well curated and the videos were amazing. And it was most of them I'd never seen before, but it was incredible. I loved it. And so you were helped pick out some of these videos?
Yeah, we spent months, going through artist catalog, trying to figure out, because you hear about legendary performances, but then there's also the aspect, well, can we find video of this? And so for every artist that he thought would be, of that caliber, of the greatest live performances of all time, we had to go through and watch hundreds of their best live performances to select, whittle it down to, the select few.
It was so.
And ultimately, it was originally going to be just one part, but there were many that we had to make it to. Too many great performances.
I'm honored that there was a second one that I was able to get invited to. I don't know if I would have made the cut. It was just the first one, but it was so. I loved there was a Tina Turner performance of Simply the Best. That I think is like one of the best. I think she's at the Beacon, right? That performance where she walks in through the Beacon.
The Central Park performance?
No, I think she walks in through the Beacon Theater and you get the shot of just her feet and she's walking in and the camera comes up and she walks through the lobby of the Beacon Theater.
Yeah, no, I think I know which one you're referring to. Yeah.
I loved watching that performance. And then there was a great, he opened that night up with, was it Judy Garland singing in Black and White?
Yeah.
That was incredible also. It was so cool to see it curated and to see him talking and then he was interviewed. It was great. I loved it.
No, it was also just a great, musical education for me to have, because I would send him these videos thinking that they were great performances and he would say, no, they're not. And here's why. So it was a terrific, just experience overall.
That's a masterclass right there. That is so cool. Charlie, have we left anything out now? What's been unsaid? What have we not covered here? Have we said it all?
Yep. Nope. We've said it all.
Thanks for taking the time. Thanks for coming on. Preffy.com. Everybody's got to check this out. Songfluencer.com. Go to songfluencer.com if you want to apply as an artist for a Preffy competition. If you're a creator, you can go to preffy.com. You can get going right now. You can win cash money. And you can actually do some, you can create content with some really great songs. I'm looking right now, some great competitions, some great songs that you can work with right now, some big artists. This is it. If you're not getting on board, you're falling behind. Preffy.com is the future. Charlie Davis, thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you soon.
There you have it, Charlie Davis on the podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks again to Charlie for taking the time to come on to the show. Love talking about Preffy. Really cool company, preffy.com. Go learn more about this, even if you're not going to use it. To me, it's just a very interesting company that I think is doing some really cool things. They're already working with some of the biggest artists on the planet. A lot going on with Preffy. Learn about this company now. And Songfluencer, songfluencer.com. Check them out because they're one of the best digital influencer marketing companies around, truly. I work with them all the time on a variety of different projects. Songfluencer, they're your guys. Preffy, they could also be your guys. Look into it. Check it out. The Zach Kuhn Show is mixed by Sam Heyman, and our theme music is by Justin Johnson. If you want more content from us, you can subscribe to our newsletter at NashvilleBriefing.com, or you can follow us on socials, everything at Nashville Briefing. The Zach Kuhn Show is part of the American Songwriter Podcast Network. It's a big deal. We're proud to be part of the network. It means a lot to us. And that's it. We appreciate you tuning in. Hope to see you next time. Thanks. Bye.